Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to people all over the world through his biblical teachings and sermons. You will experience that truth from God's Word in today's message. Now let's join Pastor Salem.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. We're always happy when we come to the weekend, and we can gather together with our friends and our brothers, our sisters, our loved ones all over the world. And someday we're going to be in heaven, and we'll all be together, and I can't hardly wait. But we got to get the work done first, so we stay right on preaching the Word, and you pray with us and pray for us, and then someday we'll celebrate. Well, today we're going to be talking about the Christian soldier. The Christian soldier. And if you want to locate it in the Bible, you can get Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, and we'll be looking at that. But before that, I want to read some of the letters. Thank you for the letters. And at the close of the service, I'm going to give the address, and I hope that you'll get your pencil, paper ready and stay awake and then write to us. I'd love to hear from you. Here's some of the letters we get. And then we can pray for your people, if you have a problem. Here's a lady that writes, Crown Point, Indiana. My name is Rachel, and I am currently an inmate in Lake County Jail in Crown Point, Indiana. We have no library, so I really have nothing to read. Any literature and Bible studies you might have and are able to send to me would be great. I want to be able to share with my three children. Also, I have a Holy Bible. If you have a Holy Bible you can send to me, I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you, and God bless you. Please pray for me that I can go home to be with my family soon. Pray for my family and children. Thank you, and God bless you. And we hear from so many people in prison, and we pray for them. Every time we get a letter from them, we pray for them. And here's a dear sister. She wants a Bible. We've already sent it. I think probably she's got it by now. And we send literature, and we communicate with them. It's a wonderful ministry. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. When you give to this ministry, you're having a part in this. We couldn't possibly do this without your financial support. And so you get your pocketbook out and get ready for the end of the service. And maybe God will tell you, you need to send some help and help those people. Here's Linville, Iowa. Thank you for your service in Christ. Your simple way to understand preaching reaches more souls for Christ better than some of these who use highfalutin words, hard for the average person to comprehend. And I know some of these preachers, oh boy, they're off in space, way off in space. And so just preach the Bible like Jesus did. Tell stories about the parables and make it so the children understand it. And then this person goes on and listen to this. Instead of waiting for the undertaker, we're really waiting for the upper taker. Christ coming in the clouds, the rapture of the church, can't be far off. And that's exactly right. He's going to come someday. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you want to look it up, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, about the 14th, 15th verse. And it says that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And then Paul says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Oh my, the best is yet to come. We may be going through some hard times now. We may be out in the wilderness now. But we'll get home one of these days. And won't that be something? Here's one from Duluth, Minnesota. You said if a person asks God to come into their heart, that he will. Does that prayer have to be said out loud, or will he hear me if I say it silently? Could I please get your booklet on salvation? Thank you for turning this lost sheep back to the right direction. God bless you. Isn't that a beautiful letter? And she's talking about, well, first of all, you can pray silently or audibly. It doesn't make a bit of difference. You just so you pray it. And say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. and I'll live for you. I'll make you the Lord of my life, and I'll forsake sin the best I can. And thank Jesus for saving my soul. Then tell somebody what you did. Now she's talking about a booklet on salvation. We have a little booklet, 15 pages, and it says, can a Christian lose their salvation? And the answer is absolutely not. You cannot lose your salvation. Once saved, always saved. And if you, I'm going to give the address right now. If you want to get this book on salvation, you just write salvation. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you write, and we'll send it on a free will offering basis. We also have one on suicide. If a person commits suicide, can he go to heaven? If he's a Christian, yes, he'll go to heaven. So if you want those booklets, you write to us and help us if you can. If you can't, some way or other, we'll make it. One more, Hamilton, Montana. Oh, I love this letter. I love all of them, but listen to this. Thank you for your old-time sermon and song. I make it a point to watch every Sunday. Some Sundays, my granddaughter, who's 8 years old, watches with me. She calls your program The God Show. Isn't that beautiful? After your sermon, we talk and she asks questions. I try to answer them the best I can. She's very good at reading but struggles to understand the verses of the Bible. She has accepted Jesus into her heart. I'm so happy for her, and I know your program has been a big influence upon her. Thank you very much, very much. My prayers are with you and your many fine people. And it's signed, A Proud Grandfather. And here he is, his little granddaughter, 8 years old. She accepted Jesus. And oh, I know they got some people say, oh, that's too young, that's too young. My daughter accepted Jesus when she was 5 years old. She's in her 60s now, walking with Jesus. I accepted Jesus when I was 10. I could see it as clear as a bell. Don't tell me children can't accept Jesus. They can love their parents, they can love Jesus, can't they? And so we just rejoice, and we just hope that many of you will write in and tell us about some of your experiences of life. And maybe if you have prayer, let us know about that. But let's look at the Christian soldier today. The Christian life is a battlefield. It's not a playground. It's not a dress parade. It's not a picnic. It's a battle. It's a war. The enemy we fight is given to us in Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 17. And that talks about the enemy that we fight. Really, the Christian really faces three enemies. He faces the world, the flesh, and the devil. Those three fight us as long as we live. Not till we get to heaven will they end. Now it talks about the world. That's in Ephesians 2, verse 2. It says, in which time past ye walked according to the course of this world. This has reference to the world system in which we live. Someone had described it as society apart from God. And this system is opposed to the things of God and the teachings of the scriptures and the Bible. They're opposed to self-denial and self-sacrifice. And John calls it the lust of the flesh. He says in 1 John 2, 15 to 17, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So we have that battle with the world. And then we have the battle with the flesh, the old nature we got from fallen Adam. We all have it. Even the little children have it. You put a couple little children together and you give them a bunch of toys and they'll be fighting over one toy. They're just born with that nature. And that's a fallen nature of Adam. And with that flesh, we can never please God in Romans 8, verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That is, in our own strength, our own righteousness, our own good works and all of the rest, it doesn't amount to diddle. And Isaiah says, all of our righteous works, all of our good works is like filthy rags in the sight of God Almighty. There's only one righteousness that counts, and it comes from Jesus. And you don't work to get it. It is by faith to him that worketh not, but believeth to him, it is counted to him for righteousness. And so we're to be having that righteousness of Christ, The minute we accept Jesus, He washes away our sin and He clothes us in righteousness, and we're as pure as Jesus because we're in Christ. And then we have the devil, the flesh and the world, the flesh and the devil. Now the devil is in warfare against God, and he's been at it for a long time. And he's identified under several false names. For instance, devil means accuser. And that's because he accuses the people of God day and night. Revelation 12, 7 to 11. And he talks about how the devil accuses. And the minute we make a bad thought or we step a little bit out of the way, he accuses us before God. See, he's the accuser. He's a louse. And then he's called the adversary because he's an enemy of God. He's called the tempter in Matthew 4, 3. He's called a murderer and a liar in John 8, 44. He's compared to a lion in 1 Peter 5, 8. He's compared to a serpent in Genesis 3, verse 1. He is also can become as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15. He's called the God of this age, 2 Corinthians 4, 4. And so this devil, he's fighting us all the time. And where in the world did he come from? Well, God created him as Lucifer. Man, he was a beautiful angel at the throne of God. And then he said, I'm going to be like God. I'm going to take the place of God. And God cast him out of heaven. And with him, about a third of the angels are in Jude, where it says he saw the devil cast out of heaven. And about a third of the stars of heaven went down. They think that's angels that were angels of God, and they became demons. And so you have the devil and the demons, and there's plenty of them, and they're all organized, and they fight us. So we're in a battle, a big battle. So God provides for us so we can handle this battle and win in the battle. And he gives about this equipment. He says this equipment has six pieces. He says it's four is in immediate contact with the body. Two are to be held in the hands. And five of these places are for defense. And then one more, and that's for offense. So let's look at them. He says, first of all, we have the girdle. And all the girdle is a military belt. And you strap that around your waist, and it makes your back strong and helps you to stand strong in the battle. And from that girdle, from that belt, hangs a dagger, and might even be the sword. You might have the sword hanging there. And it would support his back, and he could go into battle. And so we're told that this battle and this, he's guarded, this girdle or this belt is truth, is girded in truth. It stands for the truth of God. It stands for the Bible, stands for the Word of God. And so we need to be grounded in the Word of God. And so when we study the Word of God, when we study the Bible, when we learn more about it, we're surrounded with the Word of God. We're filled with the Word of God. And it's like a belt that puts around us and holds us strong. And when we would fail, we have that wonderful Word of God that supports us because we know it and we study it and we love it. And that's why you need to meditate on your day, on the Bible all the time. You need to listen to God speak through His Word. You need to be in church where they preach the Bible. If you can't go to church, you watch TV and radio and watch the programs where the Bible is being preached. And don't go all some of this fluffy stuff that doesn't amount to anything. Like meringue on a pie, and you chomp your mouth on it, there's nothing there. You go where the Bible is being preached, and that's where you ought to send your money. You ought to give the money to the place where you're getting fed. When you go to the restaurant, you pay the restaurant for the food. You don't pay the restaurant down the street. You pay where you get the food, and that's where you ought to give God's money, 10%. You ought to give it to God's work. Give it where you're getting fed. And so this wonderful beauty, this belt. But let me tell you, there's something beautiful about this girdle. And that is, it ties us together. It holds us together, the truth. Look at this. I don't hold the girdle. The girdle holds me. I don't hold the Bible. The Bible holds me. I don't hold the principles of God and the teachings of God. They hold me. And when I come into temptation at all, I don't have to worry about making a decision because the Word of God is like a girdle around me and it shows me and I know and I follow it. Then he talks about the breastplate, having on the breastplate of righteousness. His loins girt, the soldier or warrior next fastens on his breastplate. And the breastplate is all it is, simply is a coat of mail. It's like a bulletproof vest. Now, they didn't have them when God wrote this, and so it was a coat of mail, and it protected you from the evil one, from the darts and all. And so when we come to this, we come to the Lord Jesus, it's a breastplate of righteousness. And so the bulletproof vest is the righteousness of God, and that protects us, and it keeps us, and helps us. And Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. He says, but to him that worketh not, all you legalists, listen to me, working to get to say hell, heaven, listen, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him, Jesus, that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, he gives us his righteousness. When they took Jesus, they gambled for his gown, and some dirty soldier was bloody and muddy, all won that gown and put that gown on, and he was covered with that beautiful gown that Jesus wore. And that's what we do. We come to the cross of Calvary, and we confess our sins to Jesus, and he clothes us with his righteousness. And when I get to heaven, St. Peter, look at me, he won't see me in all my sins. They're all washed away. He'll see the righteousness of Jesus. And I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. And Peter couldn't turn me away anymore, and he could turn Jesus away. That's why you have to accept Jesus Christ. Because if you don't have him, you don't stand a ghost of a chance. You won't see St. Peter. You'll see an angry old devil waiting for you in the lake of fire. That's what you'll see. God have mercy on you. God have mercy on you. I just want to cry for you. Put your faith in Jesus. What are you doing anyway? Don't put it off. Put it out now. Say, dear Jesus, come into my heart, please. Take away my sin, and I'll serve you. I'll make you the Lord of my life. And I'll serve you the best I can. Then you thank him. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And then you tell somebody. And if you're one of these men watching us, usually the men, the women usually go to church. The women turn to the Lord first. I've been in the ministry 72 years, and usually it's the women that go first. I don't know. They're smarter or they're more tender. God, I don't know what it is. But the men, they'll sit there like a bump on a log. So now you tell them, your wife, I accept that Jesus, and I tell you, she'll cook you the best meal you ever ate for a long time. Yes, and then the sandals. He says, in your feet, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And so he says he's going to put on these sandals, and sandal was just kind of a little strip of leather, and then it would tie it on with leather thongs. And sometimes they had little nails driven through so that nails would stick in the ground. They wouldn't slip. And when they put those sandals on, that meant they were ready for business. They were going to war. They're all set now. Now they put their sandals on, they're going to go. And because of the sandals, they could march forward. And this talks about warfare. This talks about going forward for Jesus Christ and serving him and walking with him and giving him our very best. And so we put on these sandals and we're marching out. And we're going to be, it means we're ready to go. And it means we're going to charge forward and with the gospel. And those that accept Jesus, it says, how beautiful are the feet of them that brought the gospel. I'll never forget that evangelist that helped me come to Jesus. How beautiful his feet. He came and he preached and I accepted Jesus. Came on the first invitation. And so here you are, you're going forward now, in school, at work, at play, at coffee, wherever, whatever. Tell the good news of the gospel. Tell them that God loves them. Tell him that he's not willing that any should perish. Tell them that they need to turn to him and love him. Put on those sandals and march forward for Christ. And then we're told about the shield. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Now the shield was a large piece of armor, and it was about 4 feet long and 2 feet wide. It usually was made out of board and covered with thick hide, and some of them had it covered with horns so that they wouldn't have to, so they couldn't pierce that shield. And it was carried in the left hand, and it was covered about two-thirds of the body. And this is one of the first things that they had in defense in battle. As far back time as you can go, they had the shield of the way things go. Well, in the ancient world, it was a great world of defense. It was the only defense. And with the Christian, it here now is the same thing. It's our defense. And it says that faith is this shield. And so our faith becomes our shield for our soldier, for our battles. And this faith can ward off shafts of unbelief and infidelity and temptation and sin and all of the rest of us. This wonderful shield, this wonderful faith that we have will protect us and keeps us if we just use that faith and keep it up and keep it in place and trust the Lord Jesus. And oh, let me tell you something that's just beautiful. When I was writing this, it is so beautiful. And it's here's this faith. It has this shield. And it says that they could keep away from the fiery darts of the evil one. And so then when the evil one would have kind of like a hammer made out of wood, and it'd have it dipped in some kind of a pitch. And then he'd get that fire burning, and he'd throw it among the soldiers on the other side. And they could be burned, and they could be caught, and they could. And so you use this this great shield to hold off into those darts as they come. But listen to what it says in the Bible. It says this wonderful shield of faith that we have. Listen to what it says. It shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Quench. The olden shields, all it could do is just ward them off, and it might strike you and hit somebody else. I don't know. But the wonderful faith we have puts it out, quenches it. And when the devil puts us to get, tries to tempt us and to lead us astray and to get us into sin, why, we just use that wonderful faith, and not only does it put the stop it, but it quenches it, that wonderful thing. And then it talks about the helmet. This helmet is made out of wood and skins of wild animals. And later on, it was made out of metal. And sometimes this was used to put a palm in it, a plume in it, and so people could see it. And they loved those helmets. And this helmet was protected the mind, the head. And that's the mind, and that's the thought, and that's the thought process. And that's what we need today. We don't need a metal. We don't need a metal helmet. So that we can, don't have the darts hit us or something, but we have to have that helmet of faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and that takes care of our mind. Because out of the mind are the issues of life. We think things through. When we go into some sin, we think about it, and we think about it, and then we do it. And that mind has to be pure. And how can you protect your mind with the television and all of the rest of it? Well, this wonderful helmet that God gives us, it keeps our minds and it helps to protect us so that we keep our mind on the things of God. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to grow worse and worse as time goes by. But that all this equipment will help us. And then the last thing he mentions is the sword. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we know what the sword is. It's the Bible. And this wonderful weapon, it's well known by all. It was the offensive part of the battle. When you wanted to move into the battle and take the battle, you took that sword. You didn't take your girdle and fight with your girdle or your helmet or your shield. You took the sword, and that means you're on the offense, and you're moving out, and you're moving on. And that's why we preach the Bible, because the Bible, oh, I love to preach the Bible, because there's power there. When I preach that Bible, I can preach with authority. Don't you tell me what it says. It says, thus saith the Lord, that's all we need. And it is sharp, and it pierces to the heart of people. And I suspect is piercing hearts of people right now. And you know what it's saying? It's saying you're a sinner. It's revealing you're a sinner. And it's saying Jesus loves you. And he wants you to come to him. But you have to come. You have to come to the Lord and ask Him into your heart. And you just come to Jesus and say, "Dear Jesus, I just thank you. I just ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins." And if you do that, you write to us and we'll send you literature. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you write to us. And you may want to send a gift, because we don't beg for money on a Christian Worship Hour. We never have in 38 years. And if you want this to continue, then you ask God. And if He wants it, He'll tell you. And if He doesn't tell you, we don't want it. Because if God isn't in it, we don't want to be in it either. We don't want to waste our time. So you pray. And then if God lays it on your heart, you got the right there. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or send it, ChristianWorshipHour.com. Now I'm going to pray for you all. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the wonderful salvation we have, and we can win every battle. And now we're praying for your people everywhere. We're praying for those in Mongolia, Lord, our brothers and sisters in Christ who are dying for you. Oh, just help them to know that you were there. And maybe they feel like God doesn't know, but help them to know that you know everything and you'll never leave them or forsake them. Give them that assurance. And Lord, to those who are on beds of sickness and those who are shut-ins and can't get around anymore, just to help them to know that underneath are the everlasting arms. Help them to lean on you. And Lord, there may be others in trouble, maybe not just the old folks, maybe some of the young people, maybe some of the children don't know what to do. Maybe some of the parents are having trouble. Maybe you can't find a job, can't pay the bills, taken home with a loved one. Oh, God. But you are able to help us through every battle and every struggle of life. And for that, we give you thanks and praise. You are so wonderful, dear Jesus. You are so beautiful. And you never will leave us, and you'll always be with us. And someday we're going to be going home, and you're going to come and get us. You're not going to send somebody to pick us up. You're going to come and lead us through the valley of shadow death yourself. Oh, my God, we just love you, Lord. And we just pray that everybody listening in today, everyone, every last one, will put their faith in you and receive your Savior, and then just lean on you and rest on you and rejoice in the Savior. And we'll give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to thank all of you for worshiping with us today. Thanks for letting us in. And Lord willing, we'll be back next weekend. And in the meantime, let's pray for each other. And wouldn't it be something? Maybe Jesus will come this week. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.